Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first half year investor and analyst call of the Lenzing Group. First half 2017, what a first half. Just absolutely excellent. New all-time high in the first half of 2017, revenue and EBITDA. If you start with revenue, we were up 11% at 1.149 billion euro, and EBITDA up almost 40% at 270.7 million euro in the first half. Main drivers, again, higher selling prices and improved product mix as well. On the volume side, less so because capacity utilization has been already at max for quite a while. What was particularly pleasing, actually, in this context was that in a rather volatile viscose environment, the specialty prices remained stable and rising, and that just really underpins, again, I think the validity and importance of this Core10 strategy, focusing less on volume and more on specialties. Balance sheet, very healthy despite 111 million dividend payment and quite a strong CapEx momentum. We actually were net debt-free by the end of the second quarter. All in all, and Thomas will speak much more about this, very solid balance sheet. In terms of implementing our Core10 strategy, we made the next major milestone, as already indicated before in the second quarter, with respect to selecting the next location for a major lyocell fiber site after Mobile, Alabama. We have chosen Thailand as this location, and Heiko will speak more about the reasons of that. ReFibra, again, recycled cotton turned into lyocell fiber. Interest after the successful launch with Inditex, very high, and we have more than 25 partners now in ReFibra, but the momentum is exactly as we wanted it. Robert will speak more about this. Sustainability in general, and this is not just ReFibra, gaining much more momentum in the overall fashion industry. In this context, we're not only providing leadership due our historic positioning, but more and more also from the innovation side, really momentum. ECOVERO, that has been now pre-launched at that event in India, is, in terms of turning our commodity into specialties, a very important step. Why very important? Because we take something that is pretty much commodity viscose, and we bundle this commodity viscose with the pretty much unique property of a superb eco footprint and mix it with a unique identification system that gives the brand the confidence that even the end garment can be identified, this is ECOVERO and that's not just any other viscose. As such, a very important step, taking commodity, turning it into specialties, and also, and as Robert will elucidate further, this is also from a pricing, something that will be treated as a specialty and not as a normal viscose. With that, I would like to hand over to Robert and ask him to give us some flavor for the overall market.
Thank you, Stephan. Warm welcome to all of you also from my side. If you look at our regular chart on the prices, you can see that the viscose prices have been very, very turbulent since, let's say, the middle of 2016. The cotton prices have increased versus their low in the middle of 2016. They are now at the early 2015 level again, at a higher and stable level. The polyester prices, after a very short increase at the beginning of the year, driven by some environmental shutdowns in China, are really back to the normal level again of around the $1 per kilo. If you look at the cotton market, the cotton prices said they are at a higher level. This is driven by the ongoing strong demand for cotton, or stable demand for cotton, I should say, at about 24 million tons. You can see in the middle of the chart, the 2016-2017 harvest is expecting about 23 million tons of production. With demand again exceeding the production, you'll see a further reduction in cotton inventory, specifically in China, which is helping overall the prices and is bringing the inventory level down to the lowest level in about 5 years. If we then go to the viscose market, you'll see that the dissolving wood pulp prices have come down about 9% since the beginning of this year. but that the viscose prices have been very turbulent. We had a very strong pricing in Q1, driven by environmental pressure from the Chinese government, coming down in Q2 due to a more, let's say, balanced supply and demand situation in the whole viscose value chain. The specialty prices, Stefan already said, they really did well. I'm very happy with the performance of the sales team, that we've been able to keep the specialty prices stable and rising in this first half of this year. This is something that we've been aiming for. Of course, it is always only reality when it's being tested, but we've seen with the big change in Q2 that we are on a really good track with the positioning of our specialty fibers in the industry. All this positioning is based on sustainability. And sustainability, as Stefan also already mentioned, it is an increasing factor. We've heard that the Chinese government is reducing the pressure on the, increasing the pressure on the overall market in China for the viscose producers. But at the same time, you'll see an increasing pressure from NGOs aiming at the brand and retailers. Now, many of you might have already heard or read the Changing Market publication on the viscose industry, specifically targeting the viscose producers in China, Indonesia, and India. They are not directly attacking the viscose producers, although they're being criticized. They are attacking the brands and retailers. They are making this sustainability an issue for the brands and retailers. Now, these brand and retailers, they are now suddenly confronted with something that they normally do not know, and that's a simple fiber ingredient, so they are looking for help. So they are trying to go out and they are looking for help on how to resist this pressure. And this is where Lenzing is very well positioned. We are the recognized leader in the industry for innovation and for quality, but we're also the recognized leader for sustainability. So Lenzing is taking a very important leadership role in this. And this message is very strong, reinforced by the recent innovations. We did launch Refibra 2 years ago, addressing the issue of waste, of cotton waste in the industry. And now in the second quarter, we launched EcoVero, which is taking, as Stefan said, a commodity product, but it's in fact a commodity technology, but positioning it as a specialty product. It is a completely different product from a consumer perspective. So if you look at EcoVero, it is the most sustainable product in the industry. It's based on a very rigid purchasing of the wood. It is based on a very important closed-loop production process, which is measured more and more by independent sources on its economical footprint, or the ecological footprinting, sorry, like the HIC index or the EU Eco Label. So the fact that you have more of these methodologies now to standardize the economic footprint is increasing the pressure in the industry. And this is where EcoVero really is well positioned. If I now have a viscose fiber that is ecological responsible, but in the finished garment as a brand and retailer, I do not really know if it is actually Lenzing viscose or is it the competitive viscose. I still have a problem, and Lenzing is helping with that problem by putting a very unique identification technology in the fiber. So we are able to guarantee the brand and retailers that the finished garments with the Lenzing viscose actually is Lenzing viscose. So this is a comfort factor that is very important for the industry. This comfort is important with the pressure that these brands and retailers are under. And this is therefore also reflected, of course, in our pricing policy. EcoVero is not going to be priced as a regular viscose. It will have a much more stable pricing, just like all our other specialty fibers like Modal or Lyocell. On the Refibra side, we launched it. It really has a huge impact in this industry. The actual volumes are still very low. We launched the product with Inditex because they are by far the fastest person of bringing this to the market. You've got to recognize that some of the other brands and retailers, when they are working on new fiber developments, when you start talking about a new fabric development, by the time it hits the shelf, it takes at least 18 months, sometimes even up to 24 months. So you can imagine that some of the brands and retailers that are working at Refibra are preparing collections, but they will only come to the shelves by the middle of 2018 and beyond. What Refibra really has done is positioning Lenzing as a sustainability leader. It has significantly has impacted the image that Lenzing has at the brand and retail level and strengthen our relationship with these players, helping us to position EcoVero, helping us now to address the issues as raised by the changing market. So overall, a very, very strong position from an ecological and innovation perspective. And with that, I would like to hand over to Heiko.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Good morning from Vienna to everybody on the line. I would like to guide you through the investment projects of Lenzing, which are all well on track. Let me start first with what is furthest advanced. We have, as we announced last year, the bottlenecking programs in the go at our specialty portfolio as well as in the pulp. We are investing 100 million euro each in these two segments at the Pashkov side and the Lenzing side predominantly, and the specialty fiber investment, the majority of the capex is being spent in Heiligenkreuz. The next big building block already announced last December is the brownfield lyocell investment in Mobile, Alabama. Here we have started construction and we are looking forward to receiving the first product in 2019. The most exciting part of our investment portfolio certainly is the recently announced investment in a lyocell greenfield plant in Thailand, Prachinburi. Why Thailand? Thailand does have a couple of features which make it the most suitable investment location for us in the Asian region. It has a proximity to customers, so we are well positioned to serve the Chinese and the Indian markets, good trade conditions in doing that. We find a very positive and good investment climate through a very professional board of investment, which is probably second in the region to Singapore. We have a good energy mix, which is important for our CO2 footprint. The next steps we are going to take in Thailand before we finally approve that project in the first quarter of 2018 will be the land acquisition, the establishment of a legal entity, but also, last but not least, the hiring of the staff for operations and the execution of such a large investment project. With that said, I'd like to hand over to Thomas Obendrauf for the numbers.
Thank you very much, Heiko. Hello and welcome also from my side. Let me guide you through the most important financials of our second quarter and the first half 2017. In a nutshell, we had another excellent quarter. We had an excellent half year. Let me start with revenues. Revenues increased by almost 8% from 522 million to 563 million euros, mostly driven, of course, by higher prices and a better product mix. Looking at the half year numbers, revenues increased from 1,035 million by 11% to 1,150 million euros. The share of specialty fibers came in with 41.9%, and this compares to 42% in the year before. Moving on to EBITDA, we had an excellent quarter again with an EBITDA of 135.6 million euros. That corresponds to an EBITDA margin of 24%. Looking at the last year, actually we had an EBITDA of 103 million and an EBITDA margin of less than 20%. So EBITDA increased by 32%. Looking at the half year numbers, EBITDA increased from 195 million to 270 million. That's an increase again of almost 40%. Moving on to EBIT, of course, EBIT also very, very good. EBIT came in with 102 million in Q2. That's an EBIT margin of 18% compared to 13.5% in the year before. Looking at the half-year numbers, EBIT increased from less than 130 million to 204 million. That's an increase of 57%. Now moving on to the net profit. Net profit also, of course, excellent with 75 million and earnings per share of €2.80. That compares to 50 million euro net profit in the second quarter last year and €1.85 in terms of earnings per share. Looking at the half-year numbers, actually net profit increased from less than 95 million to 150 million. That's an increase of almost 60%. Now let's move on to some key figures in the balance sheet. I'm very proud that as we're end of June, we do have a net liquidity of 10 million euros. That, of course, already includes the dividend payment we made in May, amounting to 111 million. Looking at some balance sheet numbers, actually, as you can see there, not too many changes. Total assets are almost unchanged. Only a minor change in liquid assets, of course, are driven by the dividend payment. Equity rock solid with 1.4 billion euros and an equity ratio of 55%. Last but not least, a couple of words to the cash flow. Actually, also very, very positive development. Gross cash flow increased by 17% compared to last year. Taking a look at the operating cash flow, of course, you have to keep in mind that we had a significant one-off last year caused by an extension of payment terms for our major suppliers. So this had, of course, a significant impact on the operating cash flow, but also on the free cash flow. And at the same time, of course, the run rate of our CapEx is also increasing, and this is, of course, reflected in the free cash flow. I'm also specifically pleased with the development of our trading working capital, which is now at the level of less than 16% in terms of revenue. So in total, really an outstanding Q2, an outstanding first half 2017. I think we can be very proud of the result. And with that, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So first half 2017, excellent. I think overall good market environment, good performance of the total group. And I think also on the strategic side, we made a lot of steps. Let me just summarize some of the things that we indicated at the beginning of the year that we have set out to do in terms of our implementation of Score 10. Middle part, strengthening the core. We still owe a final decision on how to achieve the 75% backward integration. We've always said it's a decision that we would take by the end of the year. We're fully on track to take this decision. Again, just to reiterate, together with the supplier, brownfield, greenfield, the bottlenecking, the whole range of options on the table, but we will take this decision at the end of the year. Absolutely vital was the boost of our continuous improvement culture. I'm very proud on the performance of our commercial team, how they have implemented the specialty strategy. We have already said that the 50 million EBITDA improvement that we have committed in this Core 10 strategy was already in 2016 overachieved, and I think we are just seeing ongoing very good trend on that front, but also on the operational side and our implementation capacity with respect to the investments. I think with the arrival of our new board member, we will have further focus in this area, and we absolutely see their good potential. Customer intimacy, big steps we have done on the brand architecture, not something that you see yet. Concepts finalized and worked out. Some of the things you will see on the next product launches, launch events already as a sort of pre-taste, but the big launch will be then in 2018. Absolutely vital for us was the strengthening of the direct sales and marketing channels, taking out the middleman, be it trader, be it agents, and establish our own sales offices, hiring our own salespeople, and by doing that, being closer to the customers and better explaining our unique value propositions of our product. Absolute and important step in our pricing power, and I think this was very well done, and we are well on the way. On the specializations front, we will not bore you again with all the investments that we're doing, but they are important and now the execution important. And I think we have taken a very long-term view in terms of the way we went about that. And I'm absolutely thrilled with the innovation power of the group. Refibra launched, we have said we would have two new launches this year. Robert already elucidated Ecovero, even though it's just viscose. No, it is not just viscose. It's a major change from commodity to specialty, and as such gives us an absolute great boost, both in stabilizing but also increasing earnings. And we will have another very exciting product launch coming up on October 6th, Now, more we will not say today because it is a very, I think, important launch for us. October 6th, we will have the next new thing to announce to the market. Now, if we then take a bit the crystal ball, first half, a very good market environment, very good. I think we have seen both in terms of market as well as in foreign exchange, a very positive start into the year. We don't see for the rest of the year substantial new capacity coming on stream. And if we then sort of take a look at the second half, assuming no major changes in the market conditions, stable exchange rate compared to where we are now, we just need to reiterate we expect a considerable improvement in results in the fiscal year 2017 compared to 2016. The one thing, however, that I would also like to say, we are with our Score 10 strategy very well positioned also for the time after 2017. And we have mentioned this in the previous call. 2018, we will see new capacity coming on. We also do see changes on the dollar side. But I think the way we have positioned ourselves, some of our investment decisions, just make the group all in all more resilient forever what there might be coming. So with that, I would like to stop our presentation to you and open the floor for any questions there might be. Operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions, only so that everyone can have a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrick with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Stendler, and good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, I would be interested in if you could give us an update what you see currently on the ground in China in the viscose industry. Viscose prices have recovered from the trough we have seen mid of June. Recently, the fourth round of environmental inspections on viscose producers was initiated, and this is actually on the largest share of the producers. What do you expect here? Could this be having a very positive impact on pricing and maybe also cushion the effect ahead of Chinese New Year, which is usually the seasonal low or the weakest quarter? Also, in terms of capacity additions, you said you expected only some minor additions in 2017. Could you quantify, and what is now the number that is out there for 18 and 19 that should be added? And also with Ecovero that you presented in May, what can we pencil in here in our models? How much volume will you produce? I mean, how much of your viscose currently will become Ecovero? How much do you need still to invest in your capacities to make Ecovero, or is this just a branding thing? And in terms of pricing, because you said that you expect your viscose or the Ecovero then to be not like commodity viscose as cyclical anymore. So in terms of pricing, what premium to, let's say, the generic viscose are you aiming at, and how would you give out your volumes initially? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Trubich, thank you for your two questions that you skillfully packaged into almost like a strategy investigation. Now, let's start with China viscose. What we are seeing is that indeed the Chinese government is taking an increasingly tough stance with respect to environmental performance. And that is also the reason why the predictability and visibility we have, even short term, on what prices exactly would do is very difficult. Overall, we have assumed that fourth quarter would be a weaker quarter versus, let's say, the rest of the year, and that indeed the capacity that we are seeing being added would come on, so as of that, the viscose prices would become softer. However, I think some of the moves of the Chinese government make it a bit less easy to predict when we will see the stepping down. So I think your guess is I don't want to say it's as good as ours. We don't expect any major changes just right now. That's our just working hypothesis. However, as I said, some of the moves that we have seen also in the first half were quite surprising and short notice, where we saw prices going up and going down with more substantial steps than we originally would have just assumed based on supply and demand. In terms of overall volume, we would see that in 2018 and 19, substantial volumes will come on stream. The estimations go anywhere between 600,000 up to 900,000 tons that we would see even in the year 18. Now, again...
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt. So the 600 to 900,000, is this basically for 18 or 18 and 19?
No, this is now for 18. This is for 18. However, what I just wanted to add, it's very intransparent at this moment in time with some of the bigger announcements, how some of the competition is stacking that up. Because some of the announcement would have suggested that even in 2017 we would see as much as 200,000, 300,000 tons coming into the market, but it's not coming. So in that respect, we see some of those decisions being moved to the back. And what we do know is that, again, the Chinese government is putting much more pressure on sustainability, is one of the drivers that keeps our competition busy. Now, with respect to Ecovero, I would like to ask Robert maybe to give some flavor in line with our policy of not actually answering your question.
No, exactly. I think, Stefan, Ecovero was launched because there is an increasing awareness also at consumer level about sustainability. And the problem that some of the brands and retailers are facing is, if I'm taking the most sustainable product, the viscose product, I'm theoretically willing to pay more for it, but how do I actually know that the viscose in my garment actually is a lensing viscose? And that's what we have brought with this product. It's a product that brings confidence to the brands and the retailers. So it is viscose like we do it today. There's not going to be significant investments needed based on today, because it is based on the regular viscose technology. There's still some investment needed. We at this moment have announced that we will launch Ecovero from the lensing side. There is a plan in place then to also start producing it in the near future, somewhere in 2018, in China, and that's what we are still working against. From a pricing perspective, I can tell you now there is a premium over today's viscose prices with the current, let's say, CCF index that you're following. However, this is not going to be following the CCF prices. This is a specialty product that is going to be staying flat in its pricing, and considering the value it offers to the brands and retailers, you should consider that the premium is in the double-digit range, not a small incremental premium. It's really a completely different positioning in the market for viscose fiber.
So basically that implies that as of 2018, most of your lensing viscose capacities will be then transferred or converted into Ecovero volumes?
No, definitely not. I mean, it still is something that, of course, the whole marketing story needs to come across. So again, you're going to have some quick adapters that are really taking sustainability very serious. We've received quite a lot of interest in Ecovero, but of course, the collections for 2017 have already been defined. Collections defined meaning both the technical specification as well as all the marketing positioning at the brand and retail level. What we've seen is that with the initiatives like now Changing Markets, where the brands and retailers are really challenged on doing the right thing, the amount of interest has significantly increased. So we are seeing the actual first orders in Q4. The product will be launched at the Premier Vision later this year, and then we start shipments. So the product has been introduced to the market. The first trials will only be done by Q4 this year. The interest is increasing, but it still will be a relative small portion of our viscose production in 2018, but it's growing. It's also only positioned in the textile industry, not in the nonwoven industry, which is based on a different technology.
Okay, and would you say that in 2019 you will be achieving, let's say, 10% of your textile viscose volumes are Ecovero, or is this already kind of an ambitious target?
Mr. Tobi, we have stopped giving quantitative guidance on volumes and prices, as you know, for the transparency we have. We are sorry, we cannot answer this level of precision, and I would say also fair now to the next ones. We move now to the next.
Okay. I come back. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez-Pineda with Paderbank. Please go ahead.
Good morning and congratulations for the great results. Then I have two questions. Can we maybe get an update on the pulp, the bottlenecking project? When can we expect a contribution from the 25 KT coming from that project? And is it fair to assume that this could have a 4 to 5 million euro EBITDA positive impact? And in terms of Refibra, does this also have a premium over tensile fibers, or is in the same range as tensile? So that for now. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, with respect to the volumes, I can tell you that we will see the first volumes in 2018. Of course, as these debottlenecking programs have to tie in to annual shutdowns, we are not totally free. So we'll have to wait for the scheduled shutdown. And that's all we want to comment at the moment.
Robert, maybe on Refibra?
Yeah, on the Refibra side, the Refibra is a very unique innovation, which also, considering the complexity of this product, has a higher cost to it. But from a pricing perspective, it has significant premium over lyocell, and really significant. So this is also why, when you're looking at the brands and retailers, as they are looking at Refibra, they think twice if they want to use it or not. We have a successful launch with Refibra in Inditex, in the Joint Life collection of them. We are talking now to 25 other brands about the new collections with Refibra. The scale-up of Refibra will take definitely some time, because it is a brand new product that's going to require completely repositioning also from a marketing strategy perspective at our customers. So this will be a niche product that is going forward. What Refibra also does, and we've seen this very clear, is it gives us the connections at the brands and retailers, which is very unique, and that's really an asset for Lenzing. It's a key differentiator for Lenzing versus all the other cellulosic fiber producers. They are increasing the awareness about wood-based cellulosic prices. And although some of these brands and retailers might not have commercialized collections with Refibra, we've seen an increase in collections containing our tensile or modal fibers. So it is the positioning of Lenzing as an innovation product, but the halo effect definitely spills over into our other specialties.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Bernd Maurer with Raiffeisen Central Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. One question referring to your capacity enlargements. Can you share any, I would not assume calculations, but any thoughts of return metrics with us to get a better feeling for earnings contribution from the new tensile plant in the USA, perhaps also some initial thoughts for Thailand? Don't know which numbers you want to refer to, and any sales and margin or return metrics, if you can give a bit more light here, this would be very helpful.
I mean, as already outlined before, we cannot be too specific on this, yeah, on those numbers. However, you might remember from our financial targets we have given to ourselves, we always said that the ROCE shall be above 10%, and I think it is fair to assume that the new projects are not below that level.
But is it also fair to assume, if you said it should be above 10%, if I add it should be significantly above 10%?
I'm not going to comment on that one.
Okay. I think it's fair to assume, Mr. Maurer, Tensel is our flagship product. So, you know, and I think, but I'm not having to share anything new.
I would not have put into question that the ROS is above 10%. It's rather if it's in the 15 to 20% bracket or,
But again, I think I just would reiterate what Thomas said, that is a level of detail we don't feel is supportive of our shareholder interest.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for taking my questions. I would have some on the prospects for 2018 and your debottlenecking, please. I think you mentioned at the start of the call that the Lenzing had set itself up for a resilient earnings trajectory into 2018. I appreciate you may not be in position to guide for this yet, but do you expect earnings to grow in light of less favorable FX and substantial additional viscose capacity? And related to this, at current spot rates, what would be the EBITDA headwind from FX that you would be expecting in H1 of 2017? And secondly, the bottleneck that is mentioned in the press release refers to 25,000 tons of Tensel in 2018. From memory, I think 30,000 tons was mentioned previously, although correct me if I'm wrong. Has the expected bottleneck been reduced slightly in size? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bray. Maybe a couple of words on the outlook and then just to clear some of the air with respect to the bottlenecking, and then I will ask Thomas to speak about the foreign exchange exposure. We will not comment today on an outlook of 2018. That is something that we will do for sure when we speak about the whole year and maybe already give more guidance on the Q3 environment. I think that we will get a bit more transparency. Overall, and that's what I've said also in the summary, clearly some of the market environment is changing. We do see a weaker dollar, and what we do expect is that the capacity additions on viscose will also have its impact on lending. Now, our strategy is exactly, I think, was anticipating that, and we are set up for a resilience in our earnings, but this is not that we're immune to those developments. Maybe then just to clarify that the bottlenecking, we have in total, indeed, we have 25 KT that we have set for Heiligenkreuz, but we have also in total 10 kilotons that we had for our LAG and Grimsby side, in total 35 kilotons in terms of specialty capacity. Some of that already is in place. Thomas, maybe on the foreign exchange side?
On the foreign exchange, the strategy we are applying remains unchanged. Basically, what we are doing is we are hedging one-third of our net exposure when we do the budget. We hedge another third on a rolling 12-month basis, and the remaining third remains open, remains unhedged. If we then take a look at what is our net exposure. We do have net exposures in three currencies, most important, of course, being the US dollar. The net exposure there is roughly 400 million. Then the second largest one is with regards to RMB, which is at 200 million. And last but not least, the Indonesian rupee with about 100 million. I think with the numbers mentioned, you should be in the position to come up with your own model and calculate the impact. But overall, let me just add, of course, just taking a look at the foreign exchange development, if we just take a look at where the US dollar has been, we saw the dollar at around 1.06. Yes, of course, this is significantly better than 1.16. However, the question is simply, is 1.16 a bad level? I would say no.
That's understood. Thank you. Do you mind if I don't want to outstay my welcome, but do you mind if I ask a quick follow-up to the 2018 question? If I try and reconcile your numbers with movements in viscose pricing, I have the feeling that there is another price-raising program and specialties going on of similar magnitude to the commercial excellence program of 50 million euro that you recorded in 2016. Is this about right? And is this? Do you expect specialty fiber prices to continue to be able to be increased for the remainder of the year and into 2018?
Okay, so Mr. Bray, I think, let me put it that way, you're not completely off with your estimation. We have said that the 50 million that we significantly overachieved this already in the 16. I will not go into more detail, but let me say, in terms of our overall continuous improvement program on the commercial side, it is not completely unsensible, your assumption. The other question I would like to hand over to Robert.
Yeah, thank you, Sebastian. I think the overall pricing, as you've seen, there are different moves that we've taken place. Number one was that we really stopped selling into end users or applications that were really low value, where we simply couldn't capture the value. So we've optimized both our product portfolio as well as our customer mix, which has resulted in price improvement without changing prices. At the same time, we really worked on identifying the value that our product offer in the finished product. So what value does it bring to the garment or to the consumer? And this is where we've also made significant progress. Now, we've made a lot of progress on that area, and we've captured most of that. So our pricing policy at this moment, I do not expect that we will be able to continue to increase, to realize the same increases in top-line prices, because these opportunities have been captured. However, we also have now the new products that come in, as we said earlier, with an EcoVero coming into the market, with a scale-up of Refibra that we're going to see an increase in sales on in 2018. And also that some of these high-value segments that we're currently supplying are also growing, because certain segments grow faster than others. So I'm very optimistic that we can use the positioning of our premium products in the market to stabilize prices next year, being less volatile as the CCF prices that we expect from China.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger with DB. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Stephanie, Jens. A couple of questions from my side. Coming back to EcoVero, so you said in the call you will basically tag it as a specialty. So along with that, will you increase your specialty share target for the medium term?
Okay. Mr. Pfeifenberger, what we have said is that towards the end of the year, we are now in the process of updating our Score 10 strategy that includes the target. And we will come out at the end of this exercise with new targets, we at least will review those targets. I'm not committing now to new targets, but we will review them. And we will come then with a sum total of both the EBITDA growth, ROCE, net debt, but also some of the qualitative targets, including the specialty one. Yes, I think that EcoVero will have a notable impact on that, because it takes both things away from the one and adds it to the other, and it's not just an addition. So it is something that has absolute relevance for the group as a total.
Okay, but it's more a branding exercise than a real... So basically all your volumes or most of your viscose volumes are already better than the standard viscose people are selling in China. So it's, from a technical perspective, most of it could be rebranded to EcoVero.
I think Robert mentioned this already. We, at the moment, are only completely fit to do this in Lenzing. We have plans to also do the necessary steps in Nanjing. We do not have neither the position nor the plan at that moment to do it at our Indonesian facility. Nor do we believe, in all transparency, that everything that Lenzing is doing will be EcoVero.
Yeah.
I think we need to be just mindful that this is, we are speaking here about niche applications that will be important for us as a company, but they will not be suddenly changing the overall market. But very important is what Robert mentioned, is the total halo effect of Refibra, Ecovero, and everything for the total group. We are positioning ourselves as a sustainability leader, and that has an impact on our total pricing power over the whole group. And that is something that gives us a different access to the retailers and the brands downstream. And you need to see this as an overall, I would say, picture, not as an individual puzzle piece only.
Okay. And the second one is really on the Tensler expansion. You mentioned on slide 17, decide on future location. I mean, I think this is a bit unclear because you have selected the location. So my question is actually, what's going to kill Thailand? I mean, what are you waiting for to take the final decision? Are you basically trying to get a bit of a feel for what the statutory volumes are going to do to pricing, if it comes really bad? I mean, the number you mentioned, 600 to 900, is about, I don't know, 20% of capacity being added in a year. Are you a bit, do you want to wait until it's more visible what this will do to pricing? And then also, I think a couple of quarters ago I spoke to Robert, do you stand by the assumption that specialty pricing will hold the ground even if viscose goes down, I don't know, 10-20% in price?
That's maybe
a question including the mix changes you expect from the new product.
I think just that we don't have any confusion, the whole slide is exactly the same slide as I've shown it a couple of months ago, and the ticks just should indicate what decisions have already been taken.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Yes, we have already decided on the future location. This is not something that is yet up in the air. However, what we have said is that we want to announce the formal decision of the investment only once we have done, I think, the site preparation, you know, some of the permits we still need to get in place, as well as some of the basic engineering exercises. Then we will be in a position. Does this mean we have decided already? Yes, we have decided on the location, but we have not yet said it is something that we will be breaking ground immediately, because that is something why we take the decision in Q1 of 2018. It is our plan, but if the world falls apart, we still haven't taken the decision.
So I'm basically on the right track there in terms of...
On the right track.
Okay.
You're on the right track. I think, Robert, on the pricing.
On the pricing, we are very confident that the specialty prices are less volatile, but we're also using the same word Stefan used earlier, we're not immune. So in other words, if we are seeing a 40% drop in viscose prices because of God knows whatever reason, I cannot guarantee you that I'll be able to keep or certainly increase the margin of our specialty prices by 40%. What we've really seen is that the end users we're going into are creating the value that we see that our product is offering in those. The change that we are doing in our marketing, as also Stefan clearly said, is we are now marketing it to the brands and the retailers, which is a completely different positioning. And also what is mentioned is in order to further improve the whole story, it is very important that the consumers start to recognize our brands. And we are working very hard on our brand architecture. We're going to roll it out in 2018. But all these components are still work in progress to make us even more resilient than we believe we are today with our products.
Yeah, that's really clear, because even I underestimated what you could do squeezing the lemon that much as you did in terms of optimizing the portfolio. But you're largely done with that, right? You've squeezed the lemon as much as you could. I guess there's more room, and there's obviously the mix changes, but then the mix changes is basically the only factor that's going to keep us from an earnings decline next year when you don't have any capacity leeway, because that's coming on by 2019, and viscose prices could be down, right? So my point is, looking at a consensus and my estimates going up further next year, with the 600 to 900 being mentioned today for the first time, it's quite a stretch, no?
I think that, Mr. Pfeifenberger, I will not go into any detail. Your overall assumption that in terms of low-hanging fruit optimization programs, that this is behind us. That is a correct assumption. We have done a couple of very important steps of taking out middleman that has also, I think, you know, reduced somehow our selling expenses, some of that. There are things that we have been doing in 2017, where not everything is in, but overall the low-hanging fruit is behind us. However, we are also ourselves yet on the journey of testing in which segments, what level of price elasticity do we have. And we are testing this. And frankly, when we started with this whole journey in 2015, many people said, you cannot even unlock it from viscose. Now look where we are today. And we continue to stretch that, and we will continue to stretch that. But, as Robert said, we are not immune. There is a fiber basket out there. Now cotton has gone up by, double-digit percentage. Does this hurt us? Not at all. Maybe short-term even it hurted us, but structurally it helps us. So in that context, it's very difficult to make just absolute statements. No, not possible. Yes, possible. Overall, and I think that's what we want to reiterate, we are working on an overall strategy to position us as a specialty player, and we're very confident in that. No, we are not immune from what is going on out there.
Yeah, that's very fair. Thanks for the insight. Maybe a really last one. The 600 to 900, would you be, that's based on your intel, I guess, but then we all know Sattery has pushed the targets quite often, and environmental issues, so there's basically a bit of a skew to the downside for all of this to come on stream next year, right?
Let me put that way. If I would need to make a guess today, if you think of buyers, yes, I think the prices will go down and not up.
No, I mean in capacity, it will more likely be 600 than 900, right?
I think I gave you this range. That is the range that we think of, and I think you're in as good a position to think about the Sattery announcement, other announcements as we are.
Yeah.
But the key message is there is substantial capacity coming into the market.
Yeah. Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
We have a follow-up question from Laura Lopez-Pineda with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just one more question from my side. How do you see the raw material situation developing in the remaining of the year and in 2018? Do you see dissolved wood pulp prices to continue to be stable despite the capacity additions that are coming next year, and maybe on caustic soda prices continue to be high? Could this start having a negative margin impact going forward, or you think that won't really be a significant issue for Lansing?
Let me take first the pulp question, and then Thomas will speak a bit about the caustic side. On the pulp side, what we have seen, contrary to some of the periods before, that pulp, dissolved wood pulp, has pretty much, with some time lag, made parallel movements to the viscose prices. At the moment, we see viscose being the center almost of dissolved wood pulp. Is this something structurally? We don't believe so, but I think we, at the moment, find relatively similar supply-demand realities on the dissolved wood pulp side than on the viscose side. With some of the capacities coming on stream, we also see capacities on dissolved wood pulp coming, maybe not to the same extent, but we also don't assume that everything that on viscose capacity is coming will immediately be turned into full production either. So as such, we would say that the relation that we have between dissolved wood pulp and viscose will remain in the same bracket as what we have seen over the last 18 months or so. And I think it's very dangerous to, make precise prediction on the quarter. But somehow the logic as we have it now will remain. Thomas, maybe a bit on the sodium hydroxide.
Yeah, on the material side, actually, there are two things I would like to highlight. One is caustic soda. Prices have increased significantly, actually, this year, and our expectation for the rest of the year is that prices will remain on this high level for the rest of the year. And the other thing I would like to highlight, also, we saw also quite significant increases in coal prices, especially in Asia. And there, the same is true. Actually, the expectation is that prices will remain on an elevated level for the rest of the year.
Okay, thanks a lot. And maybe the last one, on the new tensile capacities in the U.S. That you expect to bring in 2019, Do you already have an idea on how the ramp-up will be? Do you think that there's enough demand to capture the whole capacity in just 1 year, or would that be also a substantial ramp-up in 19 and 20?
We are already now working on the ramp-up plan. As I said earlier, there is quite a long delay in starting to initiate new programs as well as when the programs actually come through. So in our whole marketing strategy, we are currently preparing and testing products and new applications that are going to be allowing us to scale up the commercial sales of this product in a very short time period.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, seeing no more questions, then I would like to thank everybody on the call. I think it was the first, good first half for the Lenzing Group. I want to reiterate, we feel we are well positioned with our strategy. A lot of things that we have set out to accomplish, we have accomplished. We're in the process of also updating Score 10, and as a consequence, our commitments to the financial community. We have increased significantly the resilience of the group, but we are not immune. 2017, we look at with great confidence. 2018 is something where we feel we are very well set up, however, for a more difficult market than what we have at this moment in time. And with that, I would like to thank everybody and close the call.